Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our morning worship service. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 349 in our call to worship. Oh, how he loves you and me. Beautiful song. Father, we praise you for this morning that you have blessed us with. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We praise you for his coming to earth as we're remembering in this Christmas season. Father, the mystery of all of that, the glory of it all, and the fact that you love us so much, as we just sang a few moments ago, oh, how he loves you and me. And Father, we thank you for that great love you have for us, and we thank you that you did not leave us in our sins. You provided that one perfect sacrifice in your Son, the Lord Jesus, and he willingly came and gave his life on that cross, shed his blood, was buried, and rose again on the third day, that he could pay for our sins, give us his righteousness, give us eternal life as a gift, and give us the Holy Spirit, who can fill us and use us as he lives within us every day, never leaves us. You're with us always, and we praise you for his power to work and move in each of our hearts. And Father, we thank you for your church, this place here, that you have called together. Thank you for each believer here, and if there are any who don't know Jesus yet and have come in today, we thank you that they're here, and we pray that you would speak to them and show them the truth found in Christ and how they can be saved and know they're on their way to heaven. Father, we praise you for each brother and sister here today. Pray for your spirit to move in power, to work in each of us. Draw us closer to you. Strengthen our faith. Challenge us where we need it. Comfort us where we need that. You know each heart, and we pray that each of us will be open to the Spirit's moving and working in us as we use the gifts he's given us to minister to one another. Bless in this hour. We praise you and thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Very well. And it's used a great deal this time of the year, and I'm just going to follow suit. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse number 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can gather in your house this morning. We thank you for each one who has come. We just pray that you will bless our hearts together today as we think upon our Lord Jesus Christ and his coming into this world. Lord, how we thank you and praise you that you have given us the salvation through him and through all that he has done for us. How we praise you and thank you that he did come into this world and went through everything that we go through, yet without sin. He was perfect. and righteous in all his ways. And we thank you for the sacrifice that he made on the cross for us, that we might have salvation, that we might have everlasting life. We do pray, our Father, for those this morning who cannot be with us. We know there's several that are ill. We just pray that you will touch them and strengthen them and restore them to health and bring them back to us again. We do pray, our Father, that you will be with any that are having difficulties in various other ways. We think of this young man who's missing. We pray for him that he might be able to get back home again, whatever the case may be. We think of others who are suffering in various ways. We do pray, our Father, today for our country. We pray that we'll be faithful to you. Lord, we look around us and we just wonder what in the world is going on. And we just pray that you will help us to acknowledge your goodness and your grace and your mercy and not seek to go our own way. Lord, we pray for Israel today and all the war that's going on over there. We just pray that you would have your own precious way and that your people would defeat the enemy that would destroy them. We pray, Lord, your will be done there. We think also in the Ukraine, it's kind of not talked about a lot these days, but we know that the war is still going on there. And we pray for those people as well, that they might have peace. Lord, we just thank you for all your goodness and pray that we might be honest and sincere before you in all that we do. Bless the rest of the service. We pray that everything we do would be to your honor and glory, and bless us throughout this day and throughout the coming days as we approach our Christmas. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we prepare our hearts to hear the message today, let's turn to hymn number 543.
Isaiah chapter 9 once again. You know, we were in Isaiah for quite a while. We went through, but I purposefully left the Christmas story for later. And now here we are, just a couple weeks from Christmas. And so I thought, well, we'll look back at Isaiah once again. Isaiah's Christmas story. You know, we read the four Gospels, and we see there the story of Jesus. But Isaiah the prophet talked about him long before he ever came. God gave him the message to show us that we have a Savior who is coming into the world. And all through the Old Testament, we read about the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah coming, you know, and the anointed one of God that he was sending to be the Savior of all those who would believe in him. So here we are, just a couple of weeks from Christmas. I'm sure everyone is getting ready for the big event. We always try to get together as a family and enjoy the remembering who Jesus is. You know, sometimes it bothers me somewhat. You know, if you see something on television or whatever, or the world's viewpoint of what Christmas is all about, there's not very much said about Jesus, is there? Anymore, it seems like it's worse than it was years ago. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm a cynic, you know, and all of that kind of thing. But it seems to me like there's very little mention of Jesus. Oh, there's always Santa Claus, of course, and it's nice for the kids. They enjoy that, right? But it's not the truth. That's only, well, I don't want to, you know, there's no kids here, so it's all right. Anyhow, Jesus Christ is the reason for the season, right? He's the one. He's the one that we worship and adore throughout the entire year, and we look to him. So here, we find here in this passage of Scripture, it speaks about this area, which is Zebulun and Naphtali, which actually says is Galilee of the nations. What do we know about Galilee? Well, that's where Jesus was conceived, wasn't it? You remember? Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel there in Nazareth, which is in Galilee. And throughout his ministry, when Jesus grew up, he preached mostly in Galilee. He went from place to place, proclaiming the message of salvation. Here, Isaiah speaks of this, the coming of this child that's going to be coming, first of all, reaching the people of Galilee. And here he's speaking about in the darkness that was prevailing at the time he wrote this in these areas, right? And we find the darkness and light spoken of so often in the Bible. I have some of this. It says, you know, on the first day of creation, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, you see. There's the darkness, and there's the light. And here, light is the gift of God. One of the first creative acts was the appearance of light, you know. And it's always something that makes you feel better, doesn't it? Yeah, the light. Who likes to walk around in the darkness? You know? Very few. And life cannot survive in total darkness. You know, you see some of these nature programs, and the only thing that lives in the darkness is something, you know, slimy and, you know, and very, very little in the darkness. So it's in the light that we have. That we need. God has given us this wonderful gift. And light is all important for plants and other living things. God was pleased with the light. He pronounced it good. In the spiritual sense, God's word is spoken of as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It reveals to us God and his plan for our lives. And it is our guide to keep us from stumbling as we walk in through the darkness of this world. You know? We need the light of God's word. We need his guiding hand to help us. This morning we want to think about the great light that came into the world over 2,000 years ago. The Lord Jesus Christ. Here he speaks about these people sitting in darkness, walking in darkness. They have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So, we have the great light of the Lord, the prophecy of his coming here. He will come to those who are in darkness. You know, you remember before you came to Christ what you was like? And when you came into your life, when the light of God came and changed you into a different person. We are born again of the Spirit of God, aren't we? And that's wonderful. He has come. And we see here, he came to those in darkness. I have a note here that says, Isaiah points out that the very region where the Assyrian armies brought darkness and death would be the first to rejoice in the light brought by the preaching of Christ. See, Galilee. These were two of the sons of Jacob, Zebulun and Naphtali, and they settled in the area known as Upper and Lower Galilee. And that's where Jesus lived most of his life. And we find here, he came. It says he will come as a child. And that's kind of strange, you know. The Savior, the Lord, God Himself from heaven coming down to be, what? A tiny child, right? And even before that, conceived in the womb of the Virgin and brought into the world as a tiny infant. How wonderful it is. God is so resourceful, isn't He? You know, think of that. And then He went through everything that we could possibly go through. He came as a child, a tiny infant. And He says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Okay. He was a child of Mary. She was the virgin that brought Him forth, yes. But He's also the Son of the Father, right? The child and the Son. The Son is given. God the Father in heaven sent His Son, right? To be our Savior. He comes. A Son is given. And He has some very significant names He mentions here. I'm sure you've heard these before. I noticed they were on the front of the bulletin today. And so important to think about the Lord Jesus and who He is and what He stands for. He has some very significant names. It says here, first of all, that He is wonderful. You know, some Bibles have it, wonderful counselor, which of course is certainly true, right? But more than that, He is wonderful. He's just wonderful. It fills our hearts with praise and thanksgiving to think of who He is and what He means to each one of us. Think of that. Wonderful. Fills our hearts with wonder and amazement to realize all that transpired when we think about Jesus coming into this world. You know, He could have been much easier. God could have just snapped His fingers or said a word and there He would have been. But no, He went through all of this. Everything that anyone could possibly suffer, He went through. And He became poor, it says, that we might be rich. So it's wonderful to know that He is wonderful. He's a counselor. He's the one who is our advocate, even now, it says, right? He's the one who counseled those when He was here on earth. You remember Nicodemus came to Him and said, Master, we know that You're a man come from God. Could You help us? He said, you must be born again. Right? Gave him the message straight out. And He goes on counseling so many. The woman at the well, right? You remember her? A sinful woman, been married 5 times and living with someone else that she wasn't married to. My goodness. Most of us would say, oh my goodness, that's a hopeless case. Forget it. Right? No. Jesus sat down on the well and He talked with her and He says, would you give me a drink of water? She said, who are you? You know, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. We don't talk to each other. And yet, He showed her the way and there was many that came to know Him and to have their life changed. But we find here a son is given. And then it talks about the government shall be upon His shoulder. What is that all about? You know, here we have a child. We have a son. And all of a sudden, the government. Well, you know, that's still coming, isn't it? Right? Jesus has not reigned here on earth yet. But He's coming. Just like He came the first time as a baby, He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's going to rule and reign on this earth in righteousness. There won't be any more corruption and sin. He's going to rule with a rod of iron and bring forth glory to God. And so His name, the Mighty God, He is God Himself. And It's amazing to think about that. The only one who is both human and divine. You know? He's the one. He's the mighty God. The one who cannot be overthrown. The everlasting Father. Now we think of God, the Heavenly Father. We know that's true. We had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is also spoken of as the everlasting Father. He's like a father to us. He's with us to help us, to guide us, to give us direction, and the Prince of Peace. Isn't that what everyone longs for? Peace? And yet, as the Scripture says, there is no peace. Right? Everywhere you look, there's conflict and destruction. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he's still going to bring that peace when he comes back again. It's wonderful to think about that. Think about Jesus coming, all the festivities that we have for Christmas. What about his coming again when he comes back to rule and reign in righteousness? It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. No end. It's going to go on and on. Upon the throne of David in Jerusalem, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. It's wonderful to realize that God is going to win. Jesus is going to be the ruler. It says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the Lord Jesus, he is the great light. And he's the great light to all. It says, let's look at Isaiah 42. Chapter 42 and verse 6. 42 verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So here he says, he's a light to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad? Huh? We're Gentiles probably. They're Jew. We have the Jewish people. He came to them. He said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we can rejoice in that he is the great light that came not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. He's reaching out to all people, seeking to bring them to true salvation in himself. So the prophets here connect the Gentiles with Christ in a threefold way. As the light, he brings salvation to the Gentiles. As the root of Jesse, he is to reign over the Gentiles in his kingdom. He saves the Gentiles, which is the distinctive feature of this present age. He reigns over the Gentiles in the kingdom age to follow this. Believing Gentiles in the present age, together with believing Jews, constitute the church, which is his body. So that's we here as a church, and all the churches that exist are made up of both Jews and Gentiles. We all come together in one. That's one of the great mysteries that the Apostle Paul talked about, that we can all be one in Christ. No matter what our background might be, whatever we may have been, we have his salvation. Now look in for chapter 49. while we're here. 49 and verse 6. It says, I will give thee for a light to the nations, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. See? That's what he came as, the Savior of all the world. Then look over in Luke chapter 2. We find here this man Simeon. I'm sure we've heard of him before. But here, see what he says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 29. This is a man that had been waiting for the Messiah to come, for Christ to come. And he says in verse 29, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So here we have Simeon, this man who had been waiting for years and years for the coming of Jesus, and he saw him. And he realized who he was, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the nations, and the glory of thy people, Israel. Look again in John chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's see here, John chapter 1 verse 4. Speaking of Jesus, of course, it says here about the Word of God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by Him. Verse 3. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness could not put it out. You know, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Think about that. You know, the light always has the power over the darkness, doesn't it? Huh? And so here we find Jesus coming to shine in the midst of the darkness, to dispel it, and to give us our life. He speaks here about John the Baptist, one who made witness. It says in verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we have that great light, Jesus himself. He said, I am the light of the world, right? He that walketh, followeth me shall not walk in darkness. We need to be sure that we're following him. So the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. It's more powerful than the forces of unbelief and darkness. He is the true light who gives light to every man. He is the creator who gives physical life to us. He is the Savior who gives spiritual life to all who receive him. Now look in John chapter 3 and verse 16. very familiar passage. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." So he says, come to the light. I am the light of the world. And you can walk in the light. That's what he's saying to us. We need to do that. He is the light of the world. Look at John 8, verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So that's it. Follow Jesus, he says, and you can walk in the light. You won't have to stumble and fall as you walk through this world. You can follow him. He came to reveal to men their sins, to show them the way to overcome sin by believing in him and then following him. To follow Jesus is to walk in the light. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, so we can walk in righteousness. And then another in John 9 and verse 4. 9 verse 4. He says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So there he's saying, you know, that we need to walk and follow him, to demonstrate that he is indeed the light of the world. Jesus opens the eyes of the man born blind here in this chapter, and he dispels the darkness and gives him light for the first time in his life. So we have here the blind are made to see physically, and also spiritually. He can open the eyes of each and every one of us. So Jesus opens our eyes and gives us the light that we need. The question is, do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Have you put your faith and trust in him? He is there as the light of the world, and we are to follow in the way that he would have us to go. And we can rejoice in knowing him and living for him and serving him all the days of our life. I hope each and every one of us this morning knows the Lord Jesus as Savior. But if you've never trusted him, what does he say? He says, "He that cometh to me, I will not cast out." He's ready to receive anyone who would desire to be saved, who would desire to have eternal life. So if there's any doubt at all in your mind and heart, just call upon the name of the Lord. He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? If we come to him for that reason, realizing that he is the true Messiah, the one who came so long ago, the one we celebrate at Christmas time, and the one that we follow in our days, every day of the year. So I pray that each and every one of us would have that full assurance in our hearts that we are children of God and that we have eternal life because of him. Father, we thank you this morning for your word to our hearts and this simple message about the Lord Jesus being the light of the world, the one who dispels the darkness, takes it all away, has paid the price for all of our sins and given us new life in him. Our Father, we pray, may your holy will be done. May your name be glorified. May you be exalted. And may we love you and serve you and follow you and do your holy will in all things. Blessed be the name of the Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.